yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some tokes, because it's time for Fatal 4-Way Radio with your host, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet and by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister.
All right. Yes, give it up the love for Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister, back in the house, baby. Welcome to season premiere. I think we decided season premiere, season six premiere of Fatal 4-Way Radio. You see, we don't keep up with that shit, really, so we got to have meetings and all that to decide which season it is, but I think we concluded that we are on season six, so give it up, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Actually, it's been longer than that, but 6 years are on record so far. But guys, welcome to the show. What's going on? I thought I had Albert in the green room there, but he didn't speak.
Oh yeah, I was there. I was using the restroom in the green room, so I had it on mute, and I was like, oh god, the phone's already on the counter. I'm not gonna curtail my bathroom break and zip it up and quite possibly have a little accident just to say, come say hello. But hey, you know what? It's great to be here. Six fucking seasons. I believe we started this late 2016, right? So, it's been quite a while. Yeah, something like that. It's been a wild ride. Yeah, it's been great, man. I'm glad to be here with you guys for another successful season of this show.
Right, absolutely, man. I'm glad we couldn't do it without you guys. We couldn't do it without each other, actually. But you know what? Right now, we've got Joe B on the line. He's still waiting for his T-shirt, man. Give it up for Joe B.
Yeah.
He's still waiting for his fucking T-shirt.
Yeah, I saw your post, Albert. And so now you owe me two T-shirts.
I'm babbling over here. I'm backtracking. Of course I do. You got to send me your fucking address.
You know what's so funny? And I'll shut up and let y'all talk about wrestling now too. Is like I'm drinking a couple beers, of course, and like I ran to the bathroom, was going to try to do a quick girl pee, and I think I actually pushed beaker instead of mute.
Yes.
No one heard your scream, buddy.
So I don't think I finished. There was the cheering in the background in the whole intro, so I think I was safe. But you know, I'm just admitting that.
Yeah. Right, goddamn!
That's a rookie podcast mistake to pee on the stream, dude. You can't pee on the stream.
Exactly.
I'll shut up now.
Exactly.
Your buddies were telling me because I tuned in early, all about game-changing. Was it Game Changer Wrestling? And it's in Dallas a lot. I have family up there. I'm looking forward to it. But as of now, I'm just going to listen to y'all folks speak about
it. Oh, yeah, man. Well, Joe B, you have to DM me your address. You got to DM me your exact address, and I'll get that shit out to you.
Yeah, totally. I'll send it to you.
Cool.
All right.
Cool, man.
I think we got a watchdog in the house, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for Christian from Philly. Christian from Philly.
What's going
on, dude?
Shanti, my brothers and sisters, it is I, the peaceful watchdog. I am chiller like a villain.
He's
and I am here to tell you.
He's been obedient.
I am here to tell you. Yep. And to enlighten you that the other company will not bother me no more because they are not worth my time. But tonight I will discuss who won the prediction game for day one pay-per-view and to do a little bit of a review on the pay-per-view itself. But until then, Shanti, my brothers and sisters.
Ah, yes. the obedient watchdog, ladies and gentlemen, Christian Ferrari. The obedient. He's been the obedient.
Now, let me tell you, man, it's been quite a ride. It's been quite a ride behind the scenes, man. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, you got to go with – you got to be loyal, man. You got to be fucking loyal. And this is it's a test of fucking loyalty for me. And I can't give up on the guy, man. I mean, I've had fucking all kinds of complaints and shit. I can't give up on him. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to tame his game a little bit and give us some different – a different perspective of the Philly-Nilly with the Chili and the Willy. Christian from Philly. I just like saying that, huh? I don't know where the fuck I came up with it, but I just like saying it. Kanye West in the hizzle. What's yeah. going on, my friend? Woo! Kanye! Season 6, bro.
Season 6. We still here.
Yeah.
Now day 1 is here for Fatal 4-Way Radio, actually.
Oh,
maybe this episode of day 1 will be better than the pay-per-view we got.
There you go.
We can only
I think it could be.
I was going to say something. Oh, I'm doing the show from my garage. I'm about to have to relocate because there is a mouse in my garage, and it almost scared me. He was talking about how he almost peed earlier. The mouse, it's not a rat, but it ran, like, underneath me and scared the piss out of me a second ago. So just so everybody knows what's going on in my house. And,
you must find it, and you must kill it.
My wife knows it's out here, and she doesn't want me to put a trap out for it.
Oh, no. You must find it, and
I
got to
find
kill
an alternative.
Yeah.
I understand how you feel, my brother. I have a mouse in my house, too, and he's kind of annoying me.
It's scary. He's probably not going to hurt me, but he just, like, keeps running by me, and I can only see him in my peripherals.
Give him a piece of cheese. They always go for the cheese.
May I interject about
here.
This mouse problem? Okay, my sister is a vegan, so she thought it would be cruel because mice are sentient beings to kill the mouse, but there's this particular type of poison that you can get that they're highly attracted to, and it looks like little rabbit pellets, and they eat it, and if they die, they kind of turn to concrete, and it just fucks their world up. Like, so.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
it's like,
there's some other alternatives on YouTube, though, where you can catch them safely and then, you know, go release them somewhere so you don't have to, you know, turn the mouse into concrete and shit.
All right.
Well, I know
I'm going to, like, leave my garage open so the damn mouse can get out and all my shit's going to get jacked.
Oh, shit. Hell no. You can't do that, bro. What you can do, man, is you can look on YouTube.
Buy a mouse trap for 50
cents. You can get off grandpa on his ass. My grandpa. He fucking lived out in the woods, let me tell you, this guy, man. Shout out to the old man. He would fucking catch them very creatively by putting a trap with bait on it. They would fall in a 5-gallon bucket, all right? And then he would put the boiling water on it, you know. He would get medieval.
Oh, my God.
But I digress.
You couldn't use it for bait or something? Go out there and get some crabs.
I mean, they make good appetizers, I guess.
In Mexico, they take the Mexican Coke bottles in Mexico, and they drop a dollop of peanut butter through the neck, and then they can squeeze through amazingly small spaces, so when they go through there, then they can't get out, so it's kind of a humane way, so then I guess you got to go somewhere and break the bottle and free them. Like, I don't know, another idea.
I'm sorry, is that Joe Bates saying that? Is that Joe Bates?
No, that's a different Joe.
Oh.
It's Joe B. Joe Bates, of course, who you can find some shows of Joe Bates. What was the show he did? What was it called?
It was a music show, right?
No, it wasn't a music show. It was he would be comparing shit. It was such a fucking funny show, man. But let me look for it real quick. I'll tell you. Indeed, I will. But not right now. Because right now it's time for this day in wrestling history. Joe B., are you going to join us for this shit? Because we're going to talk about something legendary tonight, all right, that happened 20-some-odd years ago, all right?
I'm all ears.
I'm talking about the finger poke of doom. So let's bring up that shit right now. Finger poke of doom. You guys remember this shit, Christian?
Yes, I remember it vividly. I watched this moment on my TV in my living room. This took place the night after Goldberg lost his first match against Kevin Nash. And this was in his hometown of Atlanta, Georgia. The gimmick, this whole gimmick, was that Goldberg was arrested because Miss Elizabeth said that he was stalking her. Later down the road, we find out that this was all a ploy so that Goldberg wouldn't face Nash for the world title. So this whole plan was a swerve. Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan swerved everybody, and they did the finger poke of doom. Their idea, right? This is what their idea. Their idea was that this moment was supposed to make WCW cool again. It was supposed to make it a big buzz again, like, oh, my God, I can't, anything could happen. But it turns out this was also the same night that Mick Foley won the WWF title. And a lot of, half of the audience, if not millions of fans, tuned from Nitro to WWF to watch that moment instead of this. And this moment hurt it more because it was horrible and nobody wanted it. So that sums up WCW in a nutshell, my brothers and sisters.
That was also the night that Eric Bischoff gave away the results for WWF, right? Because there were tapes a week before, and so Eric Bischoff, the bastard that he was, said the results, and so everybody switched over because they wanted to see it.
All kinds of fucking bad karma, including instant karma and shit. and then it also hit them long term too, because that was like the very beginning of the end for them. I mean, it was already, I had already stopped watching that shit personally, okay, but like, I mean, they were already going down in the fucking ratings. Soon after that, they went down below a 5, and WWE, they never fucking looked back. And I think that was a stellar moment in fucking wrestling history, with Vince McMahon and the boys that he had behind him, all those fucking guys, Triple H, Stone Cold, all of them, they fucking put their fucking big boy pants on, and they went out there and they did what they had to fucking do to save that company, because they were going to be without fucking jobs. And, I mean, I think they really did it. Joe D., what do you think of, do you remember this at all, anything? Is Joe B gone? Is he on mute?
He might be on mute.
I had myself on mute. Yeah, I can remember a lot about all that era. Like, unfortunately, I was a little run amok at that time, so it was a little hard for me to follow, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy who doesn't like to pay for cable and shit, you know?
Yeah,
totally. Like, that era of wrestling, you know, like, we were just talking before y'all went on air live, like, you know, I've always, like, been on the fringe of following all this stuff. You know, I know who all the characters are, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, that's what happened. It was the finger poke of doom, and it was a bunch of shit. Nash poked, Hogan poked Nash in the chest. Nash went down, and he fucking pinned him, just like that. The finger poke of doom. Kevya, you remember that?
So I definitely remember. I've heard it a million times. And y'all know that I didn't really watch WCW at all. I was anti-WCW when I was a kid and thought that, like, The Rock was the only wrestler and everybody else was trying to fight him for a living. This thing, like, what it makes me think about, though, is, like, and it's an old-school point of view, but there's, like, a format that works for pro wrestling, and every time, most of the time, whenever they get off of that format so far, and they're willing to do shit like the finger poke of doom and to, like, book, like, this really meta version of wrestling and shit like that, it fails all the fucking time, except for maybe, like a couple of times. I'm thinking, like, maybe Matt Hardy comes to mind with the, but even that's, like, a character thing. This, I'm talking about, like, a match has, like, a format that makes sense and that works for people to believe it and to make it a work or whatever. And this shit is, like, the perfect example of why WCW failed. And it's a perfect example of how to fucking fuck up, like, any wrestling company that you have is to start doing carny bullshit like this in the ring.
And also,
brothers and sisters, it didn't help the fact that the whole show wasn't even that good to begin with. None of the matches were exciting. unfortunately. Not even Eddie Guerrero's match was exciting on this show. And also, this match, Hulk Hogan and Nash, this was a money match, right? They could have made millions and millions of dollars for this match. You know, they could have made bank with this match, but they squandered it. And also, right, there's also a third factor into this. This was during the time that Hulk Hogan kayfabed, retired from wrestling, and he left the NWO in charge of Scott Steiner. So he came back, and he won the world title. So that's why people were pissed off more.
You know, and just to kind of add to my point about it, like, being the whole format thing is, like, these two guys, Hogan and Nash, all these old-school dudes, these guys who worked real matches and stuff their whole career, they would sit there and tell you, they would probably be the first guys to sit there and tell you, yeah, bro, you know, you got to put some heat on them, and then you work the crowd, blah, blah, you know. Like, just this format is drilled into these guys, but as soon as they're in power, look at what the fuck they do. Like, they fucking threw all that shit out the window. It's crazy.
Didn't Lex Luger have some kind of move like that that was kind of like biting off the Vulcan death grip, where it's like, you know, grabs a guy by the neck and just takes him to his knees?
I can't think of what the move's called, but there's definitely been guys with like pressure point moves like that. Yeah.
Luger did the thing where he had a motorcycle accident like in 91, 92, and he had a steel plate inserted into his arm, so like he used that as a foreign object now.
But it wasn't
a foreign object. He did the running forearm to people with this fucking steel plate and would like knock people out and shit. But it wasn't like a foreign object because it was like part of his body, so he got away with it. You know what I mean? And that was a similar point, because I'm kind of going off on a tangent here too, real quick, but that was a similar point that I had brought up about Bianca Belair using her hair, because she's got that long fucking hair recently, and she was using her hair to, like, fucking slap opponents and shit like that with it, or, like, you know, just using her hair, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like the same rule. It's like, okay, well, if it's on your body, you can go ahead and use it, you know what I mean? So that was kind of like a... what we were discussing on some forums back there about Bianca Belair's hair. It's like the Lex Luger rule. It's like you have a steel plate in your arm, you can fucking use it. It's really strange, but yeah.
But did he have
I think that's what you were talking
about.
Steel plate
in his arm for real? Or was it fucking cheap?
Yeah. No. It was a real steel plate.
Oh, wow. Well, then there you go. And so what did you think about the whole finger poke of film thing?
You're asking me?
Yes, sir.
Dude, I remember it. I remember watching it. I remember, like, I just remember, like, thinking it was just another fucking, like, wrestling fucking match. You know what I mean? Like, when I was a kid, like, because it did happen when I was a kid, so I was just thinking, like, oh, that's fucking
You're like,
stupid.
Why did he
oh,
call?
Okay. Yeah, I was just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever. And then, like, because at the time, I think WCW was still like 2 hours until like 9 p.m. and then Monday Night Raw Action Zone went on over that, so it was just like one of those things that, oh, okay, cool, like, all right, well, let's see what WWF's doing, you know what I mean? And it wasn't because of Eric Bischoff, of course. It was just my natural, you know, it was what we did in our household. We'd switch back and forth, but going to what Kevin said, you know what I mean, like, we were a WCW household, mainly because of, you know, we rejected the cartoonish ways of earlier WWF in my household. And, you know, so did my brothers. They called it, of course, I always say this all the time, they called it and I'm using this as a quote, the gay wrestling, you know, with all the colorful fantasies and all that stuff. This is what they called it, you know. So I always grew up with thinking that WWF was the gay wrestling, you know. So I was always a WCW guy because, you know, coming from the South and shit, and watching that, like, you know, evolve from NWA and Georgia Championship Wrestling and all that stuff too. And, you know, watching those old Starcade videos that my cousins had on VHS from like the fucking 80s and shit. So I was a hardcore WCW guy.
By that time I had already adapted, and I was already into the WWF and shit. But thinking back on what Kevier said a little while ago, where he said that was some real carny shit, The most carny shit that happened that night had to be where Shivani fucking revealed, you know, the ending of those matches. That's some crazy shit that came out and just bit them in the ass instantly for doing it, because they lost, you know, a lot of audience for doing that, because, you know, people wanted to see the action over on the other channel. And so I thought that also exposed the business. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about exposing the business. You talk about fucking exposing the fucking business. At that time, guys, I was fucking shocked to learn that it wasn't fucking live. I had no clue that fucking WWE was being pre-taped like that.
Yeah. I wonder what, like, the average viewer's response to the finger poke of doom was. Like, just the Joe Blow who was at the show, not to rhyme there, but, you know, like, just the guy who's at the show and he sees this happen, like, yeah. What's his reaction? Of course he boos the shit out of it. But, you know, to somebody who's not, like, in on the inner workings and why they did it, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just them playing a joke on everybody. It's fucked up.
You're right. Yeah. You're right, Kevin. And these people pay good money to see a proper main event between Hulk Hogan and Kevin Nash, and then you know it all turns out to be the match was just one finger poke, you know.
Well, my brother, they didn't pay. Technically, they didn't pay to watch Hulk Hogan versus Nash. They actually paid to see Goldberg versus Nash, because that was his hometown.
That's right.
So they got.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Yeah, it was a multi-level fucking carny event. Those multi-levels of that carny
right
shit.
Yeah.
Why would you ever buy a
right
ticket?
Now,
why would you ever go back
it?
In that town? Why would you ever buy a ticket to go see WCW again after some shit like that?
Right. Joe B, you're watching it live right now?
I literally just watched it right now, and it's like y'all are saying, it's such a sham. Like, it's just, it's right at the beginning of the match, too. And obviously Nash looks like a beast. Like, I've seen the GIF. Like, now that you mention it, I didn't ever see it live, but I've seen the GIF because it'll come up here and there, and it's during Hulk Hogan's, like, wannabe, like, biker weekend warrior era. I forgot kind of all about this, but I'm like, damn, that was within 30 seconds.
The Christian from Philly, final thoughts on the finger poke of doom, brother? Anything else you wanted to bring up on that?
And you have to imagine, right, like, at this point, and especially you, Minister, I have to use you, my brother, as an example, that you and millions of people in the audience and the TV were sick to death with the NWO at this point. You were sick to death of them. You were annoyed.
It had already fucking gone off into, like, different NWOs and shit, and it was, like, it was just all fucked up. I had already changed. By this time, guys, I had already stopped watching fucking. I was still keeping up with it, but I had already stopped watching WCW, and I was already, you know, on to the Raw is War. That was already my shit.
You may have already pointed out this fact, too, Minister. I'm not sure, but they, whenever they gave away the results, after Foley, everybody switched and watched Raw. That was during the Monday Night Wars, and that was, like, the last time that they ever lost. Like, WWF never lost the ratings war again after that.
There you go.
So it definitely is the thing that killed WCW.
For sure, brothers. So, yeah, the finger poke of fucking doom. I wonder if they're going to be doing some finger poke of doom action between The Rock and fucking Roman Reigns at some point. I guess it's going to be next year, because – as Christian from Philly's been saying, this year, they're definitely going with fucking Lesnar against fucking Reigns, and I don't know how this shit's going to end. I guess he's going to have the title till next year. Who the fuck knows? I mean, now they got Lesnar in the fucking picture. God knows. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But I digress. So, guys, Joe B., are you still with us, brother? Is he on mute?
Yeah, just
he's still waiting on his T-shirt, guys.
Yeah, the more that I listen, I'll represent that T-shirt constantly in Beagle. The more I listen to y'all, the more it just makes me interested in going back and researching some of this. You know, like I said, I missed out on a lot because I didn't ever have cable TV, you know, having a Joe job, you know, pun intended, just whatever, you know. But, all these leagues fascinate me. I really want to, because that mix I was telling you about, Albert, I was telling you about Justin had posted this he posted something, and I guess it might be from that Game Changer League, and it was just like so brutal, like stadiums. I mean, backdoor wrestling, but more like stadium style, like this mix, and like so many broken 2x4s and ladders, and people headbutting each other in the balls. Like, I would have to like see if that's the same thing that your other buddy was telling me about. That
there's
combat
zone wrestling too. CZW is like the most brutal death league, and then so if it's really really brutal, it's probably them, and if it's like probably like an 8 out of 10 on the brutal scale, it's probably GCW.
Yeah.
You know, guys, there was a time, and I'm putting the watchdog on. I guess I'm calling him out on short notice here, because there was a time that we used to do a segment here called "What the Fuck is Going On."
What
the fuck? And Chris one from Philly, what the fuck moment? Do you have one ready? What was it called?
What the fuck moment?
Yeah, what the fuck moment, Christian? Do you have a what the fuck moment for us tonight, just for the special occasion of season 6?
Yeah, I got one.
Let me cue it up.
What the fuck is going on?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Shanti, this is, brothers and sisters, this is a what the fuck moment, pardon my French, with all due respect.
Yes.
Tonight's what the fuck moment has got to be the controversy of Twitter between Tony Khan and Big Swole and this whole diversity
God.
And, you know, the problemics, yeah?
Nice.
So,
yeah.
The beginning of this, right? I'm going to be very discreet about this. I'm going to be very coherent and teculent. Big Swole explained that she left for completely different reasons. Now, I don't remember what was her first reason for leaving. I think it was about mental health or something. I don't know if anyone can refresh my memory on that, if you please.
I do not remember, but, actually. I honestly wasn't really watching AEW when she was on the roster.
Initially, the thing I had read about it initially was that it was
AEW closely at all during that time.
I had read that it was a mutual parting of the ways, I had read initially.
All right. Well, that is out the door because now she decides to go on the most infamous and disgusting platform ever in pro wrestling history. She decides to go to the internet and go on Twitter and say that AEW does not have no diversity or infrastructure. And practically, basically, ladies and gentlemen, in short layman's terms, she called Tony Khan a racist. That's the gist of it. That's the gist of it. But Tony Khan came out on Twitter, the straight savage that he is, says that I didn't let you go because of diversity or infrastructure. I let you go. You were not that good at wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leo Rush, the third party into this, you know, Leo Rush, the jobber, decided to say that he was pissed off at Tony Khan for saying that. And I think now he thinks that he's racist, and he demanded Tony Khan an apology. Well, let me explain something right
now. I didn't see that.
Well,
I saw Leo's first response, but I didn't see further past his first response. But Leo cannot be quiet, and neither should he. Like, it's a serious, I'm sure everybody agrees, it's a serious issue if you got, like, racism, especially, like, in the workplace or anywhere. But no, I think Tony Khan was saying that he wasn't racist, and I don't think that the guy's racist. But who do I fucking know? What do I know? But
I noticed that several people came out and, you know, put how they've been – They're being lifted. I mean, Jade Cargill, I mean, she's being lifted. You know, that other kid who...
I think AEW is pretty diverse. I think they have... I don't think that there's a problem with
Ricky Starks, he's being lifted.
Well, can I make a quick comment?
It's really unprofessional of Tony, the way he did it. It was real fucking snide and, like, unnecessary. Like, he, like... it shouldn't have been said the way he said it. And Leo just can't keep his mouth shut, so he made this issue out of it now. Because
made it worse, yeah.
Well, with all due respect, Kevin, or, you know, if a man is being called a racist without any proof, I would say he has the right to retaliate, you know, defending his company's name. And, you know, and also, you know.
Christian started on a Republican.
There's like a high road or whatever, and that would be to, like, not stoop to the level of the person who's attacking you. And that's the better PR move.
Well, here's the counter argument. He's new to all this. He just started this wrestling company 2 years now, so he's new. He's inexperienced. In due time, he will learn and mature, and he will be professional about it.
I think part of his inexperience and his immaturity is all the fucking shit he says on Twitter, is what I think.
I don't think so, dude. I think Tony Khan is going to slowly turn into a fucking Elon Musk, like the way he is on Twitter, or like a fucking Donald Trump on Twitter, where he just says, like, 2 o'clock in the fucking morning, just post some shit, like whatever's on his fucking mind. And it's going to get him a lot of shit for it. But I think that he, you know, he's just trying to create, not stir up anything, but I don't think he's doing it for attention, but I do think that he's just like, he just don't give a fuck, dude. And he'll, he takes shots at Vince McMahon. He takes shots at WWE. He takes shots at everybody, dude.
Bro.
I see where you're coming from. Like, people talking out their ass in the middle of the night, but it kind of, like, from my perspective, the original, like, the whole classic ideology and themes behind a lot of the characters really was kind of racist. It was like, you know, you got one guy waving the American flag. You got one guy who's, you know, an Iranian. Like, you have the Iron Sheik.
Yeah.
You know, you have people of all
that,
nationalities.
That still goes on.
That's a different
story. Weird about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's when it's just character based, you know, then it's an art form. But I see where y'all are coming from with people just getting wasted in the middle of the night and, like, doing, like, busting out a Roseanne Barr and, like, saying some heinous shit, you know?
It was weird that out of nowhere, because the girl hasn't worked for the company in a long time. So it is weird because it's coming later. And her claims kind of got refuted and shot down by everybody really quickly. So there's not a lot of other – there's nobody else coming forward to being like, yeah, Tony Khan – for AEW needs to do this. Just Leo that I've seen. So
yes.
If it's really a diverse thing and an infrastructure thing, why is Will Hobbs on TV every week? Why is Mark Henry the talker for Rampage? Why is, you know, Lee Moriarty had a match against CM Punk? Why did Scorpio Sky win the casino last week?
So Leo never really called Tony a racist. He's just saying that Tony shouldn't have said what he said about Big Swole, about not being able to wrestle. Leo's saying that you should apologize for that. That's unnecessary. So I think that even Leo Rush, Leo Rush, African-American, Dante Martin is African and white and stuff. So, like, they're stars on the show right now. So I don't think that the question, I think it really is, I don't think that anybody's questioning the racism part of it anymore. It's more like the question.
What is the comment that he said and how he said it?
For him to say that to her in the first place, no.
Well, the counter debate here, the counter argument, Big Swole lied about the first time she was released. She should have just kept quiet. None of this would be happening. And may I say, right, can we all just watch wrestling shows? What happened to the days where a man can't sit on his couch, have a nice cold beverage, and watch professional wrestling without all the politics bullshit? What happened to those days?
because we're all glued to our phones, bro. If you didn't look at the news about wrestling,
it's the fucking media, man, that does that to you.
Our
the media is going to divide you, and they're going to keep doing it.
Listen, guys, listen. All that backstage politics stuff, like all this crap that's been going on, it's been happening since the beginning of fucking professional wrestling. Now, because of social media, because of the internet, because everybody's fucking connected now, it's become like a second storyline. It's like what's happening outside, what's happening behind the scenes, you know, outside the ring. Are these people like with real life stories who have real life beef with each other? Where you wouldn't read this stuff in a in like Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Like you'd probably get like a hint of it, of so and so said this, blah 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 backstage. But that was about the gist of it. The internet came out. It changed professional wrestling. It was a quote unquote game changer. You know, wrestling whatever. But it was. It's like it's interesting because what kind of drew a lot of people to professional wrestling to begin with was the storylines, and now you got two different storylines. You know, shit that goes on backstage that you can read about on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and then you got shit that happens on TV. So it's just like it's just entertaining all over the place, dude. And these people know it, dude. And I wouldn't be surprised if these things are like semi works. You know, like they're semi just going along with it and just fucking doing shit just to bring attention. You know, to themselves or bring attention to whatever. I'm not saying that the thing between Tony Khan and Leo Rush and Big Swole was a work, but they know what the hell they're doing. They know that stirring the pot, like, you know, gets their Instagram and Twitter followers up and brings attention to their brand. And Tony Khan knows this too, and so does Big Swole. So it's all a fucking numbers game, my friends. And the longer we buy into it, the more they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah.
Good point. It's for ratings.
It's just for ratings. All right. Yeah, Christian?
Yeah. My final thoughts on this. I think, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that Big Swole did it for attention because she wanted to be relevant.
This is madness.
That's my final statement.
So, it very well could be. I mean, you know, people will do what they have to do these days, it seems. Seemingly. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens and what happens with Leo Rush, too. What goes forward with Leo Rush now that he's, you know, opened his mouth. But sometimes people can't help themselves. And he's one of those guys. He just can't fucking help himself. But there's something else that I want to talk about. And I can't think of what it is right now. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I'm going to figure out what the fuck it is I want to talk about, and we'll go with that. So stay right where you're at. And we'll be right back. Fatal 4-Way Radio. Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Dustin Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dustin Rhodes very much.
They I do like you, Dustin.
They said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dustin Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dustin Rhodes, only on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masses. Break it down! You can tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You know who you're talking to.
Good old days, D-Generation X. Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. Internet Radio Zone here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevin West, and the Swami. Christian from Philly. And tonight we have Joe Bates on the line. No, not Joe Bates. Joe B on the line. You got me freaking out now, too, man. Joe B on the line from, I'm assuming, in Beeville, Texas, from B. Joe B from the B? Could that be?
Oh, yeah.
Could that be?
Speaking of bees, just 30, 40 minutes ago, Breaker, Braun Breaker, is our new NXT world champion, and I'm excited about that.
Wow.
That is an end of an era. The end of the gold and black and the era of the rainbow color.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the rainbows. It's all about unicorns and rainbows. I think we're throwing a couple of fucking unicorns in there and some cupcakes, and we'll fucking all just be lovely. It'll all be great. I just recently found out this is Steiner's kid. I'm not sure if we talked about it last week or what, but I just recently found out about it. And I kind of dig the fact that they didn't go with, you know, they could have very easily used the Steiner name and shit. But I find it interesting and also respectable that, you know, they're doing their own thing. Obviously, WWE doesn't want to pay anything to any Steiner after he's done or whatever, and they can just keep everything, you know. Yeah, obviously, that's the, you know, mentality behind them. But they're total fucking corporate now. You know, they fucking, and you know, people don't fucking believe it, budget cuts and shit, but they're real. They're real because they got a fucking answer to those fucking people in the goddamn boardroom and the fucking stockholders. And so when you're talking about these fucking multi-million dollar contracts of motherfuckers that are just sitting back there in the back, I mean, unfortunately, some of them got to go, you know, especially if they haven't been on TV in a while, you know. And there was a bunch of them that they got rid of, although there's a bunch of them that I thought they should have kept. I mean, like, it was a big fucking missed opportunity that they didn't fucking, you know, keep Braun Strowman around. I mean, holy shit. I never even liked the guy. And then I started, you know, I could definitely see what an improvement he fucking made, right? At the beginning, he couldn't even fucking fall. And then he learned how to fall and all that shit. He fucking improved his fucking physique. I mean, he turned into a fucking monster. And they just fucking cut him loose. I mean, what kind of shit is that? So, you know, everything has its goods and bads. But, you know, they made some bad decisions as well as, you know, some decisions they had to make. And they get a lot of flack for that. But, you know, people sometimes just don't understand business. And that's the way business works. And a lot of times it's unfortunate. But I digress. So moving on, guys. Seth Rollins officially changed his fucking name. Christian, what do we know about that? What kind of shit is
this? Well, my brothers and sisters, it's not really that much of a change. Because that's just his nickname. That's just his slogan. They've always called him Seth freaking Rollins. But now, apparently now, it's his new name. Usually when that happens, that means it's a sign of a babyface turn, because I don't ever recall a heel being called freaking in ever. That's like saying Randy freaking Rollins or Stone Cold freaking Austin. So yeah, I think it's a sign of him turning babyface.
Randy Rollins?
Randy?
I think it's a sign of him turning babyface.
A lot of people call me motherfucking Joe, motherfucking B, because I'm such a jackass. Sorry, no.
Yeah. I mean, some people were even calling you Joe Bates earlier too, but I don't know what they thought you were. You know, I don't know what the reason was behind that, but but I digress.
He's freaking out. Oh, there's Seth. He's freaking out again.
He's
just gonna
maybe a baby face turn.
Fucking Rollins.
Maybe a new tag team emerges to challenge RKO, RK-Bro, with all of their fucking stupidity and shit. I mean, I literally am getting fed up with that. But let's fucking go ahead and do that now. Because, fuck it, let's just get it out of the fucking way so we make sure we have enough time to get this report out of the way. So let's go ahead and turn it over to the watchdog.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, we've had a very interesting, you know, week of wrestling. Last week, SmackDown, we're not going to cover that because it was a top 10 moment from the 2021. So that's off the list. So now we'll go straight to Raw. Right? We're going to go straight to Raw. The first thing on Raw was Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. That's right. Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman opened the show on Raw. Apparently, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar are back together again. Don't get me wrong, this was shocking, but my gripe with this is that it came out of nowhere. There was not a segment where they reunited, no backstage segment that they reunited. This just came out of nowhere, and that's my gripe into all this. Your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, they've been dropping hints all along. You know, Brock Lesnar certainly has been dropping hints that they've been, you know, tied for, you know, quite a while. He's been saying, talking shit about that for a while. I don't know. That's where I'm at with this. Kevier?
I mean, like, the story's been that he looked at the contract with Brock. Like, it's been since then that he's kind of been in Brock's ear, I guess, or Brock's been in his ear. And I thought that the segment was pretty funny. Like, the promo was really funny because Brock throws so there's a couple of botches. Like, number one botch is, like, he throws the stairs. And sometimes they act like the stairs weigh a lot. Sometimes they don't. Brock can just throw the stairs really far. So he throws the stairs into the ring. And kind of exposing the business, and then flips him over and makes a pedestal for himself, and he climbs up. He gets when he throws the stairs in the ring, though, the guy on commentary, what's his name, Pat McAfee, is that him? He's like,
are you talking about,
he's like,
pay-per-view,
oh,
or are you talking about,
do what?
Are you talking about the pay-per-view or Raw?
On Raw.
Well, Pat McAfee's not on Raw.
No, yeah, I forget who it was on commentary. It's the other guy, but he's like, he throws the stairs in the ring, and the guy's like, "Oh, Brock Lesnar turned the table over," but it's fucking
stairs. I think it was
Brian Jackson. Gotcha.
And so that was stupid. But then he gets the mic and he's like, acknowledge me. Oh, it was funny. I was like, I popped for acknowledge me. It was really funny. And then people said that he, like, was shitty. The crowd started booing whenever he said get well soon at the end of his promo. He, like, said something shitty about Roman, and then he said, get well soon, buddy. And he said it kind of shitty, but, like, it also seemed like he meant it. Like, he was just really saying get well soon. But the crowd just started booing him, and it seemed really shitty. It did, like, come across as, like, because, I mean, Roman has COVID, and he's immunocompromised and shit. So, like, shouldn't maybe use it as fighting words. I don't know.
And not only that, Paul Heyman also said something about Roman, too, which I took very offensive of. Without me for 1 week, and already he has COVID. That was bad.
Bam.
That was bad.
Savage.
I'm
I was
sorry,
like, what the fuck?
That was bad.
Yeah.
Dude, Paul Heyman throws some zingers out there, man. Like,
crazy.
Live shows or, like, anything else. Like, he's pretty fucking savage with some of the shit. And, like, he holds back, like, a lot, like, on live TV, dude. But he says some pretty fucking borderline, like, you shouldn't say that stuff, dude. You know what I mean? And, like, that was probably one of them.
So, Swami, my brother, where are we at with this Brock Lesnar thing? Do you still believe that Heyman is going to – it's all a ruse for, you know, the head of the table, and he's going to turn on Brock?
Yes.
Are you still with that?
Oh, yes, it will. Yes, it is. The whole point, I think, Paul's going to turn on him at WrestleMania and help Roman win. That's what's going to happen. That was supposed to happen day one, but now they're going to push it to WrestleMania.
There's going to be a moment, I think, where he can't turn to either one of them. He's going to be in the middle of them, and they're both going to be like, you're fucking dead. You know what I mean? That old thing where he's stuck in a rock and a hard place. I think that's going to happen to Paul.
They're going to be fucking with our feelings with Paul Heyman.
Paul's the fucking super heel out of both of the guys. He's the manipulator and the fucking guy behind the scenes or whatever, both of these guys. So that would be a cool story to tell, at least, is if both of these fucking dudes, like, say, fuck you, finally, to Paul Heyman or whatever.
Up next after this segment, we had a repeat match between RK-Bro and Alpha Academy. Skip, you know, I don't want to talk about that. Another repeat match that happened, Reggie and Brooke versus Tazawa and Tamina. Skip.
Christian, I'm glad we're skipping this shit, man, because fuck, man, it's the same fucking shit. Oh, thank you, bro.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my time here.
Yes.
Up next, we had a terrible segment again, proving why this Becky Lynch heel run is a disaster, my brothers and sisters. Becky Lynch comes out with a terrible, you know, terrible jacket like always. Glasses. She does the generic heel thing, saying that Liv couldn't beat her. She didn't fulfill her promise. Then Liv Morgan comes out with a new terrible theme song. She came up with a new theme song last night. Liv Morgan, again, looks like a crybaby, looks like a sad puppy. Looks like she's about to cry any minute again.
She has tears running down her face.
She comes out, says generic crap. She wants another title shot, even though what happened at the pay-per-view, she shouldn't even get a title shot because of a botch. Then Bianca Belair comes out. She comes out and talks. She says that she wants a chance at the world title too, even though she's done nothing but face Doudrop, you know, she's faced Doudrop these last couple of weeks. And so they fight, Liv Morgan and Belair, you know, they fight, they beat up Becky, then they fight each other, then Becky comes out and beats them both. And yeah, all in all, ladies and gentlemen, to sum it all up, this segment was terrible. All women are terrible cutting promos. Becky Lynch especially, because she's terrible.
I actually thought that Becky Christian just can't help himself. I actually thought that Becky Lynch's promo was good. She was talking about how she was a work of art. And what does a work of art do? It makes you feel. And so she was really, I thought she was really manipulating the crowd. I thought it was a great promo by Becky Lynch.
Liv Morgan, I'm sorry to say this, you know, I don't want to offend any of her fans, but her promo work is bad. Her promo work is terrible.
I watched her promo, and her promo was bad. I agree with that. But there's something still, like, kind of organic. There's something, like, organic about her that, like, there's, like, it's because she got the, she's small and she's, like, underdog or whatever. I think that's why the crowd, and just because social media, she got a good social media following, I think is a big part of it. So, I don't know.
And because
I think that there's, like, a lot of women that could have been in, that are, like, have been in this role better than Liv, and I don't know why they bring certain ones up and don't use them right and stuff like, I don't know. It's just a shame. I was going to say, let's watch what happens to, you know, we're already watching Liv Morgan. You see somebody who's popular and who the crowd likes. Let's watch what they turn them into. Fast forward 3, 4, 5 months and see what Liv Morgan looks like then. Look at Bron Breakker or whatever. Fast forward a year from now and see what Bron Breakker looks like. I'm anxious because the way that the company chews up and spits out these people is like...
And unfortunately, Cafe, for that very reason, they're going to turn Liv Morgan heel. Because, you know, they always do that, unfortunately. Somebody who's so popular can't be popular, so they have to turn that person heel. And it looks like that's going to happen with Liv Morgan, because she has a new theme song, and she's going to turn heel, unfortunately. There you go.
Soon they'll have her with Tamina or some shit. Oh my gosh. That's when you're really gone down.
It seems like all they do, you know, when they have like when they turn like one of the girls heel for a while, it's like just put her in a tag team with Tamina. That'll get her some heat. It's like it looks like a little lazy booking.
Tamina and Natalya had a good year last year. It was pretty good for them, right? They held the belts for a while, and then they I think that both of them are still on the radar. I think Natalya is about to start getting another push, too. That's somebody to watch.
I think the reason why they had a long title reign is because they didn't have no tag team in the tag division. That's why.
Yeah, true. But they were a good team.
All right.
Starting to be the baby face here.
I'm trying
to be the baby face here.
Sorry. Okay, you were cutting out here.
All right, what's next?
Moving, we had Carmella and Selena Vega versus Rhea and Nikki Ash for the women's title. Skip, you know the deal. They retained. Nikki's the weak link. Terrible.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly, Peter. In a backstage segment, we have... Yeah?
The only thing I was going to say about this match, this is the one that ended in the roll-up, right? The bullshit roll-up where they couldn't get in the ring in time?
Yes.
And it, like, watching it, it really pissed me off. Because this roll-up shit, like, this was just, like, the most blatant example of it I've seen in a long time. But it was just, like, it was just out of, and that's how it's supposed to be executed. But we get it so much from them. Like, it's supposed to be out of nowhere. It's supposed to catch you by surprise. We're like, oh, damn, they won like that. But this was just, like, a waste of fucking time. Like, as soon as the finish happens, as soon as Zelina rolled her up and they're outside the ring celebrating, like, they got their goal. Like, the crowd is booing them, but they're pissed off. I would be pissed off. You're not getting the match. It's just like the finger poke of doom. You're not getting the match you want to get. You're getting a fucking quick, stupid roll-up. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Well,
I mean, it's my cousin and all, but holy shit, dude. I mean, it's terrible. It's fucking terrible. I can't stand it. It actually fucking hurts to see it. I mean, you know, but it is what it is. I mean, she's getting her, you know, push, as they call it. She's on TV every fucking week. There's no denying that.
I don't know why this roll-up, like, bothered me. If you watch the clip of her, it's just, like, right in the middle of the ring, and the two people, the other teammates, don't slide in time. But it's, like, it's lazy, and they just all look like, it just looks fucking lazy and stupid.
Yeah. It's worthless. And those are, to me, you know, they could, like, for sure, the big one, what's her name? You know, the one that lost her fucking
Rhea
pants
Ripley.
And shit. Rhea Ripley. There you go. I mean, like, you know, they could be using her. You know, why don't they use her as a dominant force? Yeah, she's still green and shit, but she has the fucking presence. They could use her like that, like fucking Omos or some shit. Instead, they got her fucking over here clowning bullshit around losing the fucking Zelina Vega, a woman half her fucking size. I mean, what kind of shit is that?
Well, the problem is...
We weren't going to talk about it, though.
It's her moveset. Rhea's problem is her moveset. The way she wrestles doesn't fit, like, her size. Like, I think that the when I watched her singles run and stuff, like, that's what the problem is. She wrestles all fancy, and she has some hard-hitting moves. But if she just wrestled as more of a big person, like you said, then that would work.
Yep. Up next in a backstage segment, we had Doudrop demanding to be included in the number one contenders match for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
I'm sorry, Doudrop hasn't won a single match since weeks. I don't know why they decided to give her this opportunity, but there you go. This week, next week on Raw, is going to be a triple threat match between Doudrop, Bianca Belair, and Liz Morgan. Have fun with that. Another backstage segment happened. We've had Mr. McMahon and Austin Theory.
Oh, God.
Basically, Vince McMahon said that Austin Theory is in the Royal Rumble, but that's not the issue I want to talk about. The issue
the
I want to talk about...
The wig? Is it the
what?
Wig? Tell me it's the fucking wig he's wearing.
No. The issue is Vince McMahon looked like he was about to fucking collapse.
And he's wearing a fucking wig. He's wearing a fucking wig on his fucking head. It's so fucking obvious. Holy shit. Go back and look at it, guys. He's wearing a fucking wig. They got him out there. He probably shouldn't even be out there. Okay? He looks like he's barely holding himself. He looks like he's barely holding himself fucking together, man. And
he looks
what if,
like he was about to collapse.
Yeah.
What if it's just like Bruce Pritchard and like Kevin Dunn just like Weekend at Bernie's fucking Vince McMahon. They're just like propping him up and shit and like moving his mouth and his stick. I'm gonna go back and watch this. What if Vince McMahon died like 5 years ago? That's why he's like always sitting behind a desk like a fucking Muppet. You know what I mean? He's just like have to move him around and shit.
Oh man. That's what it is. It's fucking sad. That's what I got out of it.
It's really sad. Up next, we had a pointless tag match between the Street Profits and Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz. Street Profits win. Skip. Damian Priest versus... Yeah? Somebody say something?
No.
Okay.
Background voice.
That was your echo.
Okay. Damian Priest versus Dolph Ziggler for the U.S. title. The added stipulation was that if Damian Priest got counted out or DQ'd, he would lose the title. They tried to get him angry enough to DQ or disqualify himself or get counted out. It didn't work. The same match again. Dolph Ziggler lost. I say this every week, but, you know, as the Shanti, like brothers and sisters, I'm going to say it right now. Damian Priest is not good. This character is not good. He's not good. Doc?
Nah, I still can't buy into this guy.
No. I don't know. No. One of us has background noise, like a TV or somebody talking in the background maybe too. But no, Damian Priest, he should be called Damian Freaking Priest, dude. He's always freaking out. He's always out there freaking out. Making that
Damian
face.
Freaking Priest.
They should have, like, for his CG thing, like, whenever he comes out to the ring, they should just have his face, like a big version of his face, making that crazy face, you know? They all have their little CG entrance thing. I don't know. They should make, like, Damian Priest masks where they're, like, him making that crazy face and all the little kids got the Damian Priest face on.
The eyes. They should just make the eyes.
I swear to God, I think Vince McMahon seen that dude make that crazy face one time and was like, yeah, yes, bring him up.
He's wearing a fucking wig. Go back and check that shit out, Albert. I gotta hear this shit. He's wearing a fucking wig, man. Holy fuck.
Yeah. He's probably part CG anyway. So you're probably, it's probably like one of those things where it's like, you know, you hear your eyes can catch like CG in a movie. Like, what if it's just like your eyes are just catching a CG, like Vince McMahon hair? You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, brother. Yeah. You know that tech that we use in the truck where we put out the cool little CG? You know, Bianca Belair has the little lips with the ponytail. What you think you could do me whenever I'm on TV? You could do a little hairline for the boss. Do it, Kevin Gunn, or you're fired.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'm cool with them wrestling in green, in like green suits. Like they could wrestle in green body suits and then fucking impose CG like robots and dragons and shit on them.
Shit.
No, that's what they should do with like Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and shit. Like all these guys who like can't fucking wrestle anymore. Just fucking CG, like CG in there.
They've hired some dude from NXT to learn all the fucking Hogan's moveset and fucking CG Hogan onto him. Yes.
That's the future. I think we're onto something here.
Hey, we really are probably fucking predicting some shit, dude. That's not totally out of foresight.
We're cutting edge, man. We're cutting edge.
Speaking of, this is Hulk Hogan.
Fuck the Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I was thinking this, too. You know, like, it was kind of like they were, like, dabbling with this, you know, a few years ago, too. And I was thinking, like, man, they're going to go overboard with this shit. But you know how, like, they were kind of, like, giving, like, you know, like, certain WWE superstars are, like, taking over a gimmick, kind of, but not really. You know, like The Miz with Ric Flair, kind of, when he was doing the figure four leg lock and the woos and stuff. And then they had, like, you know, they even had, like, the guy who's not there anymore, Velveteen Dream, but he was doing, like, some of Hulk Hogan's moves, you know, and hulking up and stuff, you know.
Who did Damian Sandow do that for somebody? He was Mizdow.
He was doing something like that, too, but I was thinking, like, dude, like, that'd be kind of cool, and I don't think it's ever going to fucking happen, and it should never fucking happen, actually. If they just, like, reboot a fucking character, like, just completely reboot him with a new guy, like how they do in a fucking movie, you know, like come out with another Undertaker, and he's just like, "Oh, this is the Undertaker now." It's just like you just reboot a character, and like with
Kane.
A new actor. Yeah.
Son of Kane, bro, book that character, Son of Kane, right now.
Son of Kane,
people
yeah,
would
exactly.
go fucking crazy for that. And
you know what?
Braun
yeah,
Strowman,
you're right.
They hire Braun Strowman back, and he's got a Kane mask on. People would be like, "Holy shit!"
Up next. We had a Miz and Edge segment, right? Miz and Maryse come out. Fans boo him. Miz and Maryse say that Edge is a cheater. You know, the generic heel stuff, like, I would have beaten him. You know, I'm better than him, you know, and all that. Edge and Beth Phoenix come out. They talk some smack, you know. Not really entertaining anything. And, it's going to happen. It's official. The mixed tag match that we thought was going to happen at WrestleMania is going to happen in Royal Rumble instead. It will be Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, everybody. Shanti, any thoughts on this?
You're talking about Vince McMahon wearing a wig. And this is no hate towards Beth Phoenix, but it looks like 90% of her hair is, like, not real. Like, her hair is so crazy every time you see Beth Phoenix. And it just keeps getting crazier. It's a kind of a cool gimmick. Like, if her hair keeps getting bigger, and then, like, by the time the match happens, it's, like, really fucking big. and it like has something to do like in the storytelling or something. Maybe Maurice like pulls it off all the way and just like, no, I don't know. But that scene is, his hair is crazy. And that's really like, it just seems like Edge shouldn't give a shit, and Edge should, this goes back to that, like, being the bigger man kind of I was talking about with Tony Khan thing. To me, Edge's character seems like, he is like a vengeful guy, but he also just seems like he should just walk away from the news. Like, it'd be like fighting a little kid or something, you know? I feel like they're not on the same level and having them wrestle each other. And Miz's current state is not doing either of them favors.
Yeah. More thoughts on this?
I like Beth Phoenix's hair. I think it should get bigger. I think it should get bigger, and they should come off her head, and they should make a wrestler have like how we were just talking about, like have like somebody, it's like it's Beth Phoenix's hair, and now Beth Phoenix's hair is a wrestler.
Yeah.
And like it's portrayed by.
Yeah,
it's portrayed by somebody down the next
team. Wrestle the Son of Cain. Sorry.
I love the fact that we're just talking about somebody's hair instead of the storyline. I love it.
Yeah, the hair is over.
Yeah. But yes, going back to what we're talking about, Edge and Miz, I think that they're actually a pretty good fit, Kevin. I don't know like what you see, mainly because like they've been booking Miz as like a chicken shit heel for most of his career. I think that's why you think that he's not on Edge's level.
I want bigger and better things
for both of them. But you know what? Right now, this is what the fuck they're doing. You know what I mean? And it's actually, you know what? It's a pretty big feud. You know what I mean? Like these guys are pretty, you know, pretty big, you know, wrestlers. But I think it's because Miz is a popular wrestler, and Miz draws. He draws a lot of money. He is the Miz, you know what I mean? But the fact that, like he said, you know, he's been booked as a chicken shit wrestler, or I said he's booked as a chicken shit wrestler for most of his career, kind of makes it seem like he's not on Edge's level. So, yeah, I do understand how people might have a hard time seeing that Edge and Miz can put on a decent match. And now they're going to do it with their wives. So, I mean, more power to him. It's entertaining. But I think that Miz needs to – I think maybe not he needs to take himself more seriously – but I think WWE management needs to take him more seriously. And I think this could be a step in the right direction, having him, you know, have this feud with Edge.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. And it's a safe program for both of these guys to be in, to maybe, you know, definitely to get Beth and Maurice and carry them and have them back on TV and stuff like that. Like, they get to do that for them. So that is really cool.
I hate what they're doing to the Miz right now. I hate what they're fucking doing to the Miz right now. I mean, well, they've been doing it to him for years, but, like, I figured that by now they would have already, you know, turned their tune on him or changed their tune on him and started booking him in a more, you know, in a different manner, man, where he's not just always such a fucking chicken shit. And that pisses me off. But that's just the way it is, I guess. And some things never change. Mm-hmm. Beth Phoenix's hair... I can't stand it. I mean, you know, back in the day, I would have said she looked like a fucking dyke out there. But that's back in the day. We're in present time, so I can't say that right now. But holy shit, I can't stand it.
You still get canceled for saying it back then. If you, like, tweeted it or anything like that, people would dig it up and use it against you.
It wasn't back then.
Just saying.
But I digress.
Up next, we had the semi-main event from the show, and I'm a patient man, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters. I have a very decent, you know, person right now saying decent things. I've been very lenient, you know. I've been very fair this time.
He has. He really has.
This match, however, was possibly, most definitely, the worst AJ Styles match I've ever seen in a long time.
Oh, man.
This was AJ Styles versus Omos. Omos is crap. He's green. He's bad. He's doo-doo. He can barely walk. He can barely run. The majority of this match was him no-selling AJ's attacks. And then AJ does the phenomenal forearm, almost catches him, throws him to the ground, and then does his, like, powerbomb finisher, and that's it. Great Khali 2.0 beats AJ Styles clean. Yeah. And the fans are confused. I'm confused. Because I still don't know, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, to this day, who in this story is supposed to be face and heel in this situation. Thoughts? I've been fair for everything.
Yeah. Right, you got a good point. You took the words out of my mouth. As you were talking, it's making me think more about Great Khali. And, you know, I think that Omos gets compared to Braun because Braun was the last big guy there. But it's not fair. Like, Braun could wrestle way better. And, yeah, the last guy I can think of that he wrestles like is Great Khali. But the difference is Khali had a whole nation behind him as far as, like, the reason that they wanted to push the guy in the first place. He was super over. Because of his size, and it was different, blah, blah, blah. And just because of his character, I don't know, Omos has, like, the world against him. A lot of people, nobody has any good things to say about Omos. Not since, like, Raw Underground. That was, like, the last time. He was, like, a bodyguard and stuff like that. People could give him a little, but now that he's working more and we're like, maybe he'll learn and they're pushing him harder, and maybe he could. But that Great Khali style, like, it needs something extra, like, special to work, like, to have a big guy out there just, like, slamming people and pinning them. And, you know, when he goes against Brock Lesnar, Brock's going to destroy him. There's no point even building the guy up because Omos isn't going to beat Brock Lesnar.
You're right, guys. You're right, Kevin. And you know what? I don't see the point of it. AJ Styles is the fucking workhorse of any company he's ever been in. I mean, you go see an AJ Styles match live, and this dude's like, he's bumping harder than fucking anybody on the fucking card, and you can hear it throughout the goddamn arena, and he's selling harder than anybody else when you see it live, man. And what they're doing, you know, and I get it, you know what I mean? Like, they want the other big guy, but why, you know, why go with this big guy? Why pluck somebody from fucking planet nowhere and put him on TV when, you know, there's plenty of big guys who are probably at the Performance Center or even on the indies. I mean, I don't know too many people on the indies right now that are, like, you know, 7 foot plus. I mean,
they're
I'm sure they can find somebody around the world.
Facebook indie guys, they're that same giant size. Like, yeah, no, you're right. They can always find another one.
Exactly. So I don't understand. I don't understand Vince McMahon's obsession with giants. Since, like, Andre the Giant, yeah, okay, cool. But, you know, Andre the Giant could barely move too. But he was over because he was a sports attraction, and because of his personality and all this stuff too. Not really necessarily because of his wrestling ability. But, you know, see, the thing is, like you said, like, okay, Andre the Giant had something to get him over with, which is his personality,
yeah.
His,
he was,
you know, showmanship, his gear size, whatever. Khali had, you know,
so
the kind of whole country.
Doing, the shit that was expected of them was so much less.
Yeah. And Khali, of course, had the fucking, had, you know, the whole nation. Hell, even Big Show, like, you know, Big Show had some sort of charisma, and I'm not saying it was much, but And he had, like, better, you know, he had decent wrestling ability and a decent story behind him. But Omos doesn't have shit, dude. And why are they making AJ job to him? I have no idea.
Von Wagner would have been a better choice than Omos. Because I've seen Von Wagner. He had a great match with Kyle O'Reilly in a steel cage. I'd rather had Von Wagner be with AJ than Omos. That would have been much better. But we still haven't heard from Minister of Sinister's opinion. Minister, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, you know, I can't stand this Omos. He can't move for shit. It seems like they're just forcing him forcing him down our throats. And then, you know, the fact that they're using AJ Styles to do it is also reprehensible in my book. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. It's fucking sickening.
All right.
He's horrible.
Well, let's
go. Was that the main event, bro?
No, thank God, no. Now, the main event was the best match of the whole show on Raw, you know. The main event that should have happened at day one. The fatal four-way match between Big E, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and the almighty Bobby Lashley. This match fucking ruled. Great spot. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens double-teaming both Big E and Bobby Lashley. They did something they haven't done in a while and go outside of the ring and literally go inside the building, you know, the concession areas, the merchandise tables. That was sick. That was cool. Kevin Owens doing a high spot on the rafters of the, I don't know what they call that, the entranceways of the stairs outside, you know, the, I don't know what they call it, but he did a cool spot jumping in a high spot. And, yeah, the right person won. Bobby Lashley proving that he's the almighty. Hit not one, not two, but three spears, pinning Kevin Owens. And now we're going to finally get the match that we've always wanted at Royal Rumble. Lashley versus Lesnar, the Beast versus the almighty, the Conqueror versus the Destroyer, the UFC fighter versus the MMA fighter. We're going to finally prove who's the better man. And yeah, this match fucking ruled. Obviously, you know, it's the end of the line for Big E. But I'll talk about that when we do the review of the pay-per-view. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Do you think that the Hurt Business will be involved in the storyline at all between Brock and Bobby?
Well, here's the thing, right? As far as I can tell, right, the Hurt Business and Bobby of MVP are both separate entities. The Hurt Business are only Shelton and Cedric. Bobby Lashley and MVP are their own thing. So they're separate entities right now.
Huh. Yeah. I don't think Bobby's going to take it from Brock. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's impossible to book somebody against Brock. Good for Bobby, but it's just real fucking hard to book somebody against Brock. I think I mentioned this last week, maybe, or I was having this thought. I was talking to Amy, my wife, and I was telling her, like, you know, of all the wrestlers in the world, like how we just sat here and said, you know, you can find another 7-foot-tall guy to wrestle. You can't find another fucking Brock Lesnar on the fucking corner, dude. You can't just fucking... There's not a bunch of Brock Lesnar's sitting around, and there's not a factory you can crank Brock Lesnar's out of. And I know I'm putting the guy over, but, like, charisma, skill, and size, this guy's got more stats in all of those than anybody else on their roster. And anybody in the last 15 years, the whole time he's... So it's just real... It sucks. Bobby Lashley was actually the only other person who came to mind to be the next one that, up to face him. And then, you know, Roman's...
But here's the thing, Kevier, right? I'm sorry to interrupt, you know, counter-argument here. I think we're all forgetting one thing, gentlemen, and sisters and ladies and gentlemen who's listening on the broadcast. You're forgetting one specific match on the pay-per-view, the namesake of the pay-per-view, the Royal Rumble match. You see, that tells me Brock is losing the title, because if they did do a title versus title against Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, how would they do the Royal Rumble match winner? You see what the problem is there? So that does tell me that Brock is losing the title to the Almighty One. And also, the Wrestling Observer, Dave Meltzer, stated that it will not be a title versus title match at WrestleMania. So that means the Beast is losing his title at Royal Rumble to the almighty one, Bobby Lashley.
I mean, I'm okay with that move, but I read something really interesting about Brock Lesnar, how, you know, for the last, what, 20 years? How long has he been Brock Lesnar? That he has
15 good years. 15 good years.
2002.
That he has protected his fucking image to where they never, you know, you don't see any pictures or videos of him, you know, cracking it up and shit with the guys. And he did that for the reason of, you know, to protect his character to where he could bust out this side of him later on in his career, is what I read. Hopefully it was true. You know,
he watched all these other fuckers. He came through OVW and watched all these other older political fuckers and the Undertakers and shit who, you know, he respects and listens to Taker, but like, it ain't no secret that Brock Lesnar is my favorite wrestler. And there's just like reasons like that. Like, I don't know, something about the dude definitely has him like way above a lot of other people where it's hard to book. Like, if he was in any wrestling company, it would be pretty hard to book against him, I think. Brian Cage is a guy with the same physique as Brock Lesnar, but he doesn't have the same charisma and skill level. You know, he's really good skill, good charisma, but it's not, you know, if Cage and Brock Lesnar wrestled, I would expect Brock to win. It doesn't make sense for it to do any, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like thinking too literally about it, about how the outcomes and booking or whatever.
Well, then,
he's in a league of his own, and it's a problem with booking.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Kevin. And but so who in your eyes, today's roster, doesn't matter what, I mean, company, doesn't matter what company, who in your eyes can beat Brock Lesnar right now, believably?
I would say, guys who have skill sets and storylines and charisma and stuff. So Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, whatever, probably. As far as WWE goes, you know, Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre beating him was believable at the time. So I think
the
Drew
McIntyre one believable right now.
Drew McIntyre.
You think McIntyre? So you're saying, okay, Kevin, you said what, Danielson or who else?
And the reason I'm saying those guys is because Danielson's like, and I mean, there's probably Japanese guys who like could fucking do it, but it's like the aggressiveness, the shit, the skill behind them, and like with McIntyre, it would be the charisma and the size. Like I said, there's three skills set, there's three bars, and it's charisma, skill, and size. So Brian's going crazy on the charisma and size meter. Nobody can touch Brian on those things, or the charisma and skill meters, you know. Somebody like Drew McIntyre is huge as fuck and can go like he's small. And I don't know. So it's just, that's how my mind works when I'm watching shit. There's only a few guys matches that would make sense if against somebody like Brock. And really, that's how those guys should be booked too. It's like, oh, fuck, who's really going to be able to beat Drew McIntyre? That's why I was so mad during Drew's whole reign, because they just made him look like a goober.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And so, Christian, you say that Lashley can beat...
Lashley is the only one right now that could beat
him.
All right? He's
yeah. On their roster.
Like a beast.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry, I'm not picking up one of y'all's names, like the Master and Swami, and like who's just speaking. I was listening to everything you say and like looking it up as you're going along.
I am the Swami.
Okay, no, yeah, the
yeah,
Swami
that's
and
me,
the Master.
Kevin,
okay, yeah. I'm trying to get everybody's name straight. So, Kevin, I'll remember now. But, yeah, I was looking up all these wrestlers you're talking about as you're going, and, like, to me, Cage looks like a beast. Like, you're saying maybe he doesn't have a personality or a stage presence, and he needs to develop that, but he looks pretty surly out of all these other fellas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's like I think there's more
like
psychology reasons behind who I'm booking and who I'm thinking of and like what their careers have been like. Cage is like the newest wrestler of those guys. Like he's still been wrestling for fucking 10 years now, but like he's still never gotten to the same level that these guys, the other guys I mentioned have. So that might be why. But he's also the only other guy size wise. You know, him and Bobby Lashley. You know, that have gotten really popular. There's a few guys I can think of that are similar in size to Brock. We're getting
Brock
off on, like, I'm really
Bobby
analyzing
Lashley.
Brock Lesnar right now.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley's the only guy right now on the main roster besides Roman that could beat Brock Lesnar right
okay,
now.
You
Bobby
said besides Roman. Besides Roman. I was going to say besides Roman, of course, but, you know, we all know Roman's at that, you know, he's been built up to be able to beat anybody.
But out of all the feds out there, you know, all of the different wrestling companies, I think you guys are forgetting one guy. The one guy that could take out Brock Lesnar. And y'all, I think you guys know what I'm talking about. The fucking Funkasaurus.
Brodus Clay?
Yes. NWA champion, Tyrus. Get the fuck out of here.
Tyrus, there you go.
Now I'm just fucking throwing some
I'm still waiting on Veer to come out to that music, dude. We're gonna see Veer come out as the new Funkasaurus soon.
I think, you know, it's quite possible. They still haven't come out with that guy. It's like, where the fuck is he? 6-8 weeks
now
that they've been doing this shit?
He's in main event right now, so.
Yeah. So, well, he
anyway,
might come out
this
to the
is
music.
Hey, yo.
Can somebody call my mama?
Yeah, baby. Christian.
So this is what I think.
There actually is. There's one more thing I'll say. There's one more person that could beat Brock. And it's the fucking Rock. If the Rock came back and wrestled Brock again and they booked it right, that could be a fucking great money match too. I know they've done it before, but they could do it. And if Rock went over, I'd be totally fine with this.
At this point, you know what I mean? I enjoy the idea of Rock coming back, but you know, I don't see it happening. I want it to happen this year. I think we all want it to happen this year with him versus Roman Reigns, but I don't see him. The guy's too busy. You know, getting up at 4 a.m. and taking 20 showers before he goes off to the Hollywood studio.
You keeping up with
the
showers now, bro?
I bet for The Rock it'd be like right.
There was a whole thing online about him, like how like celebrities talking about, oh, I don't fucking shower, and The Rock's like, dude, I take like 3 showers a day. What the fuck's wrong with you? It was a big deal.
Here's what I think is going to happen, right? Lashley and Lesnar face off. They do the whole spiel of German suplex, spear probably through the barricade, spear in the ring, an F5, one more F5, then he goes for the hurt lock, Brock kicks, like, gets out of it. Then out of nowhere, Roman comes out, screws Lesnar, and then Bobby Lashley wins the title. And then Lesnar's in the Royal Rumble match with the help of Paul Heyman doing backstage politics. And Brock wins the Royal Rumble. He faces Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. That's how I think they're going to do it.
Wait a minute.
I got one more fantasy booking, and I promise this is my last one. But what if at the end of the Royal Rumble, Brock is in the ring, Brock loses, and he's in the ring, and then the lights go out. And then a spotlight hits in the center of the ring, and we see the Undertaker's hat and boots. And then the lights go out again. And then the lights come back on, and boom, a dead man is back in the ring, and he chokeslams Brock Lesnar, and everybody's like, holy shit, oh. And then they go to WrestleMania, and fucking Undertaker beats Brock again.
How did they get
his
everything
right?
How did they get
his stuff inside the urn and fucking have to live out eternity in the urn?
Oh, God.
How did they get his fucking wheelchair in the ring?
I don't know.
Brock will throw the ramp in there for him.
Man, that's good shit, though. I like it. The fucking whole boot thing. Only Undertaker could pull that off. What if Bray Wyatt comes back?
No, he's too busy with Hollywood. He's a Hollywood guy right now.
He's Hollywood Wyatt.
My scenario was Big E's going to come out of nowhere and fuck them all up just because I was listening to what y'all are saying and, like, looking at the history, but I doubt that.
Yeah. Big E deserves it. Big E deserved better than what he got this time.
Yeah.
He'll get it again, though. He'll be a main eventer from now on out.
Man, that's a good point there, Joe B. That could happen. WWE is full of surprises like that.
Yeah. So should we start, brothers and sisters, on the review of day one real quick? Or?
Yeah. Let's do that. And we'll
can we do
out.
The review right. and the predictions at the same time? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Yes, we could do it at the same time, yeah.
So we can cut out.
Yeah. Next. Okay, first we start with a pre-show match, you know. It's a bad omen, you know, the first match of the show, the pre-show match. It was bad signs for my brothers and sisters. The first match was Sheamus and Ridge Holland versus Ricochet and Cesaro. Sheamus won. Sheamus and Ridge Holland's team won, but that's not the big scoop here. The big incident, Ridge Holland got his nose broken by Ricochet's foot. Because Ricochet and Cesaro did a double team, which had Ricochet's foot landed square on Rich Holland's nose, and it broke his nose so bad he left the match and he was taken out of the match. So it was a handicap match between Sheamus and the face team, and Sheamus still won. So that devalues Cesaro even more, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, because even in a two-on-one situation, Cesaro and Ricochet still can't win. Thoughts? Quick thoughts on that?
It's a shameful thing.
Do you realize Love how stupid what
did
you sound?
I don't know. But no, Sheamus is a beast. Dude, what are you talking about? Sheamus beat two on one? Sheamus beat Cesaro two? Fuck Cesaro. Cesaro's tried so hard. Obviously, Cesaro sucks. That's what WWE wants us to think. Cesaro sucks. And so, yeah, Sheamus beat him. It's easy. It's good. His little buddy sucks. He got his nose broken so bad. That's going to set him back a little bit, I guess. But I guess he could wear the fucking mask that Sheamus wore for 3 months.
There you go. I mean, pull something out of nothing.
Here, he got his nose broken?
Here you go, fella. You can use my Mio mask.
Oh,
that was the best.
Sanitize it? Did you sanitize it, Sheamus? I don't want to get the COVID from you.
Minister, that was one of the best Sheamus impersonations I've ever heard.
You can use the old mask. Oh, my God. Anyway.
Unfortunately, I think, now that his nose is broken, I think somebody is going to do the scumbag thing and release him having his nose broken. I don't know why. I have a strange feeling they're going to release him after he's
oh my
no, I don't know.
Maybe it's because they fucking fire people more than I change my underwear.
Yeah. Up next, we had the first match. The first great match, the only decent match on the show, brothers and sisters, Shanti, was the New Day versus the Usos. Now, I know. We've seen this match millions of times. We've seen it, like, forever and ever. But this was a great match, I'm not going to lie. The New Day and Usos were great with each other. They tell a story. And, as expected, the New Day lost. The Usos lost. The Usos won, which means me, Minister Sinister, and Kevin get the point on that. We all
welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Mm. Yeah. We all picked the Usos to win. So, yeah. Any thoughts on the match?
It was the one match that had good ratings on the pay-per-view. It was a good match. They've been wrestling each other for a long fucking time, and it shows because they wrestle well. Both of these teams have been some of my favorite teams since I've been watching against them, like the 2013 era. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that these guys would be cool, but still, I don't know. I'm still a New Day fan. I'm ready for the New Day to be over with. The Usos, I'm cool with what they're doing. I don't want them to change. That's my main takeaways.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't have any takeaways from it myself. The match, I mean, I got to be honest. I was already drunk and shit. I didn't really pay attention to it. It was just a fucking match to me.
Well, they won with a 3D. That was the thing that everybody popped for. Is they beat them with the 3D. So if people want the Usos to use the 3D.
Correction, caveat, counter. It's called the 1D now.
The 1D.
The
yeah,
day
one?
They the ones. Yeah, because they the ones.
Well, they,
we the ones.
and they also started day one-ish. And so the pay-per-view was called Day One, and that's when they debuted the move. That's going to be a little piece of wrestling trivia right there, guys. That's
there
good.
You go. That's some great shit.
No, yeah. You're right.
Up next. It goes downhill.
Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel, and Finkel is Einhorn. Sorry.
All right. Up next, my brothers and sisters, it goes downhill from here. We have a boring contest between Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss.
Oh, shit.
This match was terrible. Boring. The crowd was dead. They couldn't care. And surprise, me, Minister, and Kevin all get a point because we picked the obvious winner, Drew McIntyre. Apparently, Drew McIntyre was injured because he's been wrestling injured for a while with his neck. So to write him off TV for a little bit, they did a backstage segment where Baron Corbin and Moss attacked him backstage. And then Baron Corbin slapped a metal object through a chair on the neck of Drew McIntyre to write him off TV.
It was a big truss rod.
Any thoughts on that, gentlemen?
A big truss bar and shit, man. It was wicked. That was the best part of the whole segment. And it's unfortunate, you know, but that was the best part of the whole fucking segment was them beating the shit out. And I don't even like Baron Corbin. I like Baron Corbin. I don't like his current character, you know. But
Happy Corbin.
They keep changing him around so much. I hate that shit. However, he has proven himself to be able to get his character over. I mean, you know, so he's working me, you know, so it's a good thing. But, yeah, that segment, that part of the segment was the best because the match itself, it was just stupid. It was so fucking predictable and shit, and you just had to know what was going to happen, the outcome. So, yeah, the beatdown at the end was the best part. The only good part, I should say.
I remember that I had read that Drew was injured and that they had to work the match like that, that they had to like kind of protect him in the match and cover it as an injury so that he could go away and get real surgery. And then when I actually watched it, I like forgot all that. And I just, I didn't really take anything away from it. But like now thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, they did beat the shit out of him and he had a broken neck. But hopefully his neck injury is okay. It's crazy that these guys, because man, I don't know. And this is what I was thinking when I was reading about Drew's injury. Is like I did just like a little bit, a very small amount of wrestling training. I went to, you know, one time I went for like 6 weeks to one place. And then I went like another time for like 3 months to another place in Beaumont. And what I'm getting at is like I stopped doing it because of fear of injury. And I already have other injuries and shit. And these wrestlers, like Drew's out there with a broken freaking neck. And, you know, Kurt Angle, these guys are going out there fucking wrestling with injuries and having to do shit like that where they go and get beat up so that they can disappear for a little while. It just goes to show, like, what, like, it's just kind of, I'm putting over wrestlers, I guess, because they fucking wrestle through injuries like that. You just hear a neck injury or spinal injury, you think that, no, you couldn't fucking work a match like that, you know? But Steve Austin, fucking Kurt Angle, all these motherfuckers have done it.
Oh, they'll do it again.
Who was that recent guy who went over the ropes? I just saw it. And, like, it was, like, I think a tag team match. And he went over the ropes and broke his neck when he was going to, you know, go for, like, semantics.
Are
you talking about MJF? He didn't break his neck.
This is something that just happened, like, last week. I just saw it. Like, it was very foul. Like, the dude just totally, like, knocked himself out and broke his neck.
Damn it. I don't know what he did about that.
I don't know what league it was in. I just saw this, like, it was just on, like, Facebook and stuff the other day. People were sharing it.
Was it like,
it might have been MJF. When Sting did MJF, where Sting threw him out of the fucking ring and he landed on his
head. Yeah, it had something to do with Sting. It had something to do with Sting was in the match.
Yeah. I think he's okay. I think he just had like probably hurt himself a little bit, but I don't think he broke his neck. You know what I mean?
No, man, he had a stinger.
Oh, they're making it sound like he broke, but it looked like the footage of it looked really bad. Like he like not Scorpion, but his neck went just totally sideways. Like he went over the top rope, and he was supposed to like dash homie into the railing, but then he just like missed and just his. That was brutal.
And he gave him a
I just watched it. He throws him over the top rope, and MJF does the whole, like, just dive, plancha dive or whatever, and goes straight head down into the concrete below.
Ay, por Dios.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't look good. He's okay, though.
Up next, we have the Raw Tag Team Championships, RK-Bro versus the Street Profits. Recap, the Street, there's no build in this match, by the way. This was an RK-Bro tournament. The Street Profits won. This match was boring. Unfortunately, it was boring. I thought it was going to pick up a little bit. The only good spot on this match, my brothers and sisters, was the elevated RKO between Matt Riddle and Randy Orton to Montez Ford. That was the only good spot on this match. We all get a point again because we all picked RK-Bro. So, any quick thoughts on this Raw tag title match?
I was waiting for the fucking turn. You know, I was already waiting for the turn. I'm anxious for the incoming turn, impending turn, I should say. Will it be Riddle?
Yeah, and I also
finally
get
tired
of Wharton
shit.
One. So. It was, I did spoilers for myself. I watched Raw first and then day one, so I didn't really care about this match whenever I watched it. I don't want to keep shitting on everybody. They're all good wrestlers. It's just, you know, it could be cooler. Yeah.
All right. Up next, we have the Raw Women's Championship match between Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. Not a bad match. I'm going to let this pass. Not a bad match. This was a pretty decent match, you know. It had emotion. But the botch ending, right? And this is why I say that Liv Morgan shouldn't be asking for a rematch. Because what happens here is this, right? Liv Morgan, first off, Becky no-sells the arm to the steel steps right away. She no-sells that spot. Kills it. Yeah. Becky, Liv Morgan's about to do her apron finisher that she does. I don't know what it's called. But she's about to do it, right? Becky stops her, catches her, and does the rock bottom, right? Now, what's supposed to happen was that Becky was supposed to reach her leg onto the bottom rope and hold it for a leverage pin so the ref wouldn't see it. And that way Becky would have cheated to win. That was what's supposed to happen. But it didn't happen because Becky couldn't reach the bottom rope with her legs. So now officially, it states that Becky cleanly beat Liv Morgan in the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
She can't use an excuse that she cheated. She didn't cheat now. She was supposed to cheat for real by reaching her leg to the bottom rope, but her leg was too short to reach it, so now it looks like it's officially that she beat him clean. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, you know, that it was a botched finish, but
yeah.
I mean, I guess it is what it is.
It ain't ballet.
Huh? Yeah. No, I didn't see that, and I didn't note that whenever it happened. I don't think I didn't watch the whole thing like front to back either. Like I watched like the bits that I wanted to. So I'm gonna look for the clip of that one.
I watched it. It was a clear fucking botch. I mean, you know, she clearly tried to get her feet on the ropes. They weren't set in a position of the ring to, you know. She should have probably, you know, if she's the ring general, she would have known where she was in the fucking ring, and she would have known that she would have been able to fucking read him or reach him. But, you know, apparently, you know, she didn't. And it looked bad. I mean, it looked bad, but, you know, it is what it is. But, I hadn't even thought about that, about what Christian said, but if that's the case, that, you know, they could have used that shit as an excuse. Now that's out the window.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go back on. Because the only thing I saw off day one was the main event. And I was actually, you know, pretty pleased with the main event. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go back and watch that and see what she's talking about.
Yeah. By the way, we all got a point on that. We all picked Becky Lynch. So far, we're tied so far. Next, we get to take off one match off the prediction list because for some unknown reason, it didn't happen. Actually, we take two prediction matches. The Roman Reigns and Lesnar match, that's out. So no points on that. But this another match that was taken out for some reason was the IC title match between Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't know why. They advertised it, but it didn't happen. Don't know why.
Man. The whole time I was thinking I had fucking fallen asleep through that. I was like, fuck, I missed that match. And now you're telling me it didn't even happen? Get the fuck out of here.
It didn't happen. I don't know why.
Because I had moments where I fell asleep throughout the whole pay-per-view. All right, so let's start with that. You know, I mean, I had been drinking for a good while. I watched it after the fact, you know. I started watching it probably like, shit, around midnight, I guess. 11:30, somewhere around there. So yeah, I was already, you know, by that time I was already fucking 8 or 9 beers in, and you know I only drink that fucking IPA shit.
Drunk.
So
yeah, I'll just drink beer the whole time I'm watching wrestling, and I can't do that. So when I talk to you guys, I drink beer, and then you know try to put it off and, like watching. I watch a little bit of wrestling here and there. Drink a beer here and there.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
All right. So, up next, we have semi-main event, Edge versus The Miz. Again, I've been a very decent person tonight. I've been fair, right? I've been a fair man tonight. I've been very...
I had a question for you, Swami, about this. Swami, I had a question for you about this because I was walking to the store like a scumbag to get more 24s. But, you know, I look at The Miz. He looks a little pudgy, but I'm like, the Edge, I'm like, how much ice does this guy actually smoke? Like,
I have no idea.
He's like degenerate. Like, he's literally like aging. Like, he's like aging. Like, look at his age. The guy is younger than me. He looks like he's about to fall apart. Like,
He looks like a fucking caveman.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, is that who you were saying that was, like, getting hair extensions? Like, they have to add hair just so he doesn't look like he's just, like, balding?
No, I think that was Vince. But Edge's wife was the lady that we were saying her hair keeps getting bigger every time we see her.
Oh, well, yeah. When I looked up Edge, it was like, and it brought his wife up, I guess, but... His eyes look so piercing, like in a recent photo, and he just looks like he looks so much more youthful. And like he has a title belt, and he looks all happy-go-lucky. And then like 2 years later, he looks like he's just like you said, like a caveman of sorts. Like you expect this guy to just like ask you for money.
Well,
I see a guy like that on the way to work every day.
Back to what I was saying. I've been a fair guy. I've been decent. I've been lenient towards these, but I'm not going to be lenient towards this one, this match. This,
uh-oh,
by far, since Edge came back, right, he's had great matches. He had great matches with Randy Orton. He's had great matches with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. This and Seth Rollins, you know, the Hell in a Cell match was beautiful, great. This was by far the worst Edge match I've ever seen in a while. This match was boring. There was no energy towards it in the crowd. The crowd couldn't give two craps. They kept saying, Miz, you suck. This match was horrible. And me and Minister don't get a point because we picked the Miz, but Kevin does get the point because he picked Edge.
Yeah.
Now, I want to get your thoughts on why did this match suck? Why did this match suck, everybody?
No, I don't know why it sucked. Like I said, I sucked right through this match. I woke up at the very end, and I noticed that the crowd was weak. When I woke up, there was some shit happening, and the match was barely getting, you know, finishing. And but I noticed that the crowd was fairly weak. Like, they should have been popping to me harder than what they... But I don't think anybody... Like, I'm really not into this story. And now they're bringing the women. I'm hoping that they get this shit out of the way and it's over after at fucking the next pay-per-view.
It is. The Royal Rumble is the final.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it's over there. But I'm suspecting they might fucking drag it on through Mania.
Why?
Well, I hope not, but shit.
I hope not either.
You know what I see about... You know what I see happening at Mania, man? I see Edge and Miz teaming up. Yeah. And, you know, going on a little... weren't they tag team? They were a tag team before, weren't they?
No.
They weren't, right? Okay, it'd be like one of those like weird tag teams, like Rated RKO or something. You know what I mean? Like, I think they would have good charisma as a tag team together. I really do. I see them coming out of this feud as, you know, partners.
You're confusing
another
Canadian.
With Chris Jericho. Do a little swinging shit, bringing the wives.
It'd be kind of like Dirty Dancing. Like, the Miz would be like the Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Where the Edge is whatever the fuck his name is, you know?
Caveman.
Yeah.
Caveman.
You know what? It would be like, you know, like one of those tag teams where it's like, you know, they like hate each other and they fight each other so much that they just become like tag team partners reluctantly. And like, you know, they just bounce off each other and then maybe become tag team champions. Who knows? I can see that happening between these two guys.
All right. Now to finish things off with the very day one review / predictions. But first, I think we need to do a station ID break before we finish because we're in the 2-minute mark.
You want to do the station ID? Let me do the station ID. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
That song right there.
I do.
You do? Okay, don't say. What about Kevier? You know that one? Albert, I know you know it. You're already looking up on fucking Google, Albert. I know.
Is it maybe the Miz's first theme song?
No.
I think it's the Beauty Guy.
Is it Heidenreich's theme song?
Linkin Park? That's the Lincoln Park?
Tell him who it is. Tell him who it is, Christian.
It's David Otunga.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? There you go.
David fucking Otunga. And by the way, that was just that picked at random, but we're going off the air now. You can go back and catch us on the overrun, and let's continue with this shit, Christian. Let's do it.
Yep, the last thing on the agenda, the main event, right? It's now a fatal five-way because Roman has COVID, you know? Big E versus Bobby Lashley versus Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar. And, you know, I know Albert enjoyed this match, you know, more power to him, you know. I respect people's opinions. But I have to politely disagree. I thought the match was rushed. I thought it was too fast. You know, it went too quick. Not enough spots for me personally that I enjoyed.
How long of a match was it, do we know?
I think it was around like 5 to 10 minutes. I don't know. Maybe even less. Like, the majority of what happened in this match was that Seth and Kevin were double-teaming everybody. Brock hit everybody with the German suplex. Then he gets taken out the majority of the match because he gets speared through the barricade by Lashley. Big E, you know, the champion at the time, rarely did anything in this match. The only thing that he did that was, you know, worthwhile was an announcer's table spot with Bobby Lashley. But even that didn't look too good because he couldn't barely lift Lashley up, and it looked like a half-assed Uranagi through the announcer's table. So the ending happens like this. Brock Lesnar comes out of nowhere. He spams the RL2 button in the video game. He spams his finisher. Hits everybody with the F5. He hits Big E with the F5. Then he hits Seth Rollins with the F5. Then he hits Kevin Owens with the F5. Then Bobby Lashley comes out of nowhere. He spears him. Then Lashley hits him with the Hurt Lock. Brock gets out of the Hurt Lock. Then Big E comes out of nowhere, hits the big ending on Lashley. And Big E looks like he's about to hit the big ending to Lesnar. Lesnar counters it. Hits one F5 to Big E. 1, 2, 3. Brock Lesnar's your new WWE champion. Now, personally, I have mixed feelings about this. In one hand, I am happy that Big E's title reign came to an end because it was, I'm sorry to say this, it was trash. It was definitely worse than Kofi Kingston's title reign. I'm going to be brutally honest. Big E didn't come off as a world champion to me. He still came off as a goofy, pancake-throwing geek who
as
didn't take anything seriously.
He's a fucking peasant.
It didn't mesh well with me. I didn't believe him to be world champion yet.
And they fucking buried him.
They buried him, yeah. He was not ready. He was obviously not ready to be world champion. At all. It showed. He was not ready. But on the other hand, right, even though I'm happy it came to an end, I'm a little upset that Brock Lesnar, a guy that had nothing to do with this build or this match, gets inserted into this match and he wins. I don't know how to feel about this. I don't think this was necessary. Really, to have him win the title, you know? If you wanted Big E to lose the title, you should have just gave it to Bobby Lashley in the beginning. You shouldn't have added Brock Lesnar into this match. I thought this was a little bit unnecessary, in my opinion. What are your thoughts? By the way, nobody gets a point on this because we all picked, me and Kevin picked Big E. Minister picked Lashley, so we don't get a point on this. What are your quick thoughts on this?
Like I said, Brock Lesnar is the god-tier wrestler. He gets entered into the equation. Everything goes haywire. It's kind of like Neo in The Matrix. Like, he's the one, you know. He'll come back. It restarts every once in a while. But then every once in a while, the one comes back and restarts The Matrix. And that's Brock. He's just restarting WWE. Rinse and repeat.
It's
try to build somebody else up to beat Brock. No?
I've never even watched the fucking Matrix, but...
it goes
anyway,
deeper, dude. It goes deeper than that.
It goes hard, bro. It goes hard. No,
I mean,
it's,
it goes hard and it goes
deep. They absolutely
I didn't watch the new one. I heard it was cool.
They should have fucking done some shit like, you know, have somebody else take the pen. But to have him take the pen like that, it's something deeper or something. because it's an absolute burial is what it is. I'm finally starting to understand a burial.
It's Brock just wiping
I fucking
his feet.
Witnessed that
Brock
shit the other day and was able
guys.
To define it. I thought, holy
fault.
Shit, I just watched the burial.
And you know, it could be a meme now at this point because people are going to have flashbacks of what happened on SmackDown when he did the same thing to Kofi Kingston. It's almost like Brock Lesnar has something against the New Day or something. First, he buries Kofi Kingston on SmackDown, and now he buries Big E at day one. You're next, Xavier Woods. You're on his shit list.
I mean, at this point, he should just go ahead and eat the crown, you know, because Roman Reigns, he fucking destroyed the crown, but they came back with a new, bigger crown. So he might as well just fucking eat it and shit it out, and there's your fucking shit list.
Oh, my God. And then I put it on his head, and they wear it like a big old shit can. If only wrestling was that cool. I'm still excited about the, like we were talking earlier about the CG wrestling in the future. I want to see, you know, I want to see them book some more interesting shit. I think that would open up a lot of avenues and solve a lot of problems that today's wrestling faces if we could just impose anybody we want in there.
So I tallied up the scores 4-5, you know. Our big winner is Kev A. West with 5 points.
I had a feeling.
Kev,
me and Minister are tied with 4 points.
There was a couple of wild cards with that show, though. It was crazy.
But now, we must, before we close ourselves out, we must give ourselves the final ratings for the day one pay-per-view. I'm going to start with the person who was sleeping the most out of this pay-per-view, Minister of Sinister. You start.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I slept my way through this pay-per-view.
I almost forgot. We can't call this pay-per-views anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
They're
premium.
They're not called pay-per-views anymore. They're called premium live events now.
Premium live, wow. Is it racist to call them pay-per-views now or something?
I guess so. But continue what you were saying, Minister. I just wanted to tell you this.
PLE.
Yeah. I mean, I slept right through it.
There's something funny about that. Hey, real
the
quick on the premium live event thing.
Yeah.
Just real quick while we're still on that topic, the premium live event thing. There's a guy who, you know, so they did change the name of pay-per-views to premium live events. Officially, and this guy went and bought the website. He bought premiumliveevent.com. It was available,
man.
And so he bought that. And if you go to premiumliveevent.com, it redirects. Right now, it redirects to AEW's website. It takes you to their event page, so you can buy tickets to AEW shows. And it's not AEW related, like a fan did it. A fan bought the website and then redirected it to AEW and said, it's pretty funny.
Wow. That is funny.
All right, so
that's a death move towards WWE. But yeah, like I was saying, I mean, I stepped my way right through this pay-per-view. The build wasn't interesting. At this point, I'm getting tired of the RK-Bro thing, and I'm already looking forward to the turn. Whoever it may be or whatever, I just want that shit to happen already. But I don't know. I think it's not going to happen probably till, you know, the Royal Rumble or something like that. And then there's some other things that I feel like they need to wrap up. So this is a total throwaway pay-per-view. And I wasn't even interested in it. And so, I mean, I got to give it I mean, just for good times, you know, for old times' sake, I'll give it a Bret Hart. I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
All right. Tavier, what is your rating?
I'm going to go lower than Chuck. I'm going to say it was a 2 because it didn't, and I'm just judging. I'm going to judge harsher in 2022. That's my New Year's resolution, is to judge harsher on WWE. No, not really. But they really, dude, like this was their, and you know, the odds are against them. So I'm torn because I don't want to be so shitty, but I was going to give it a 2. I'll give it a 3 because they didn't know Roman was going to get sick. And because I don't know, because the Becky on the foot on the ropes thing and just a couple of other things that were probably out of their control. But there's things that are in their control that definitely attribute to that score. They get a 3.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll give you an extra point though on the contest, even though you won, but still for your commentary on Cesaro. It was fucking brutal, bro.
What? They don't want us to care about Cesaro at all? Like,
yeah,
they want
your commentary on Cesaro fucking sucks.
Yeah, what are we supposed to say?
Yeah. Albert, what is your rating?
I'm going to do it like this. Because I didn't watch the whole pay-per-view, I'm going to leave it unrated on my end. So yeah, we'll just leave it at that. And I would like to say this about premium live events, right? Hey, you know what? It kind of makes sense. I hate when WWE tries to like change words on people, like we're fucking stupid. But I don't really see them as wrestlers. Now we're now calling your wrestlers superstars. Wrestling matches are now matchups, and feuds are now rivalries, right? But this is one of the few that actually make – this is one of the few change of terms that actually makes sense, you know, mainly because, like, this really isn't a fucking pay-per-view anymore. You know, you don't fucking call fucking DirecTV or your cable company and pay $75 for a pay-per-view because you're paying to view it. You know, you're paying a monthly subscription on Peacock or WWE Network, depending on where you're living, and you're getting to watch a premium live event. So – I'm going to enjoy this premium live event very
along
soon. I'm going to watch the whole thing. And the next
premium.
Yeah, I'm going to drink a beer and watch my favorite premium live event, which is the Royal Rumble.
Premium
this month. Yeah.
Premium.
All right. Vince McMahon, though, yeah. Vince, the joke about the AEW thing is Vince McMahon owns the domain name. Like WWE, if you type in the words pay-per-view.com, it takes you to WWE's website. So he doesn't own PPV.com. He owns pay-per-view, and it'll redirect you straight to WWE. He has for years. And so this guy, as soon as they made Premium Live Event a thing, fucking Vince McMahon hadn't bought the domain name for Premium Live Event. And so they fucking – Vince McMahon owns the pay-per-view. Think about that. Isn't that fucking crazy? So this fan was able to buy the Premium Live Event domain name and then fucking – that's so funny to me.
Oh, that's great.
Why the fuck wouldn't WWE have already bought the domain name?
I can't wait to hear the legal lawsuit on that. But now we go to the special guest speaker. Joe B., what is your rating for the pay-per-view?
Well, I didn't see it, but the whole premium live event versus PP, the – How they used to say it? Okay, I'm a little
pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. Yeah, I think Albert needs to make a T-shirt out of that one. But this is just an interesting commentary on that. Is I don't know if y'all are familiar with the band Blink-182, but somebody actually did that to them because they made their domain name Blink-182 when the band is actually called Blink-182. So somebody hijacked the domain name, and they put a loop video of a girl shooting a banana out of her butt, and then another girl's trying to catch it in her mouth. And then, so this is something that really happened in the beginnings of the internet. And so they hijacked their name, and so the band got very upset and was forced to like pay to get their domain name back. With the hyphen, because that's the way they spell it, because, like,
oh
all these
gosh.
People go to the site, and you just see a girl. And what was so stupid about it is it was looped to No Doubt fame, Gwen Stefani. She says, "This shit is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A."
Oh, hell.
And there's just a girl shooting a banana out of her butt, and another girl trying to bite it. So that's my commentary.
I got one more. I got one more, and we'll move on. I'm sorry, but this is related. This is wrestling related. And so at my job, we sell four-wheelers. I sell Polaris four-wheelers, and I sell Can-Am four-wheelers. And Can-Am is spelled Can-Am, the hyphen, just like the Blink-182. So if you go to Can-Am.com with no hyphen, that takes you to their website, and you can see all the four-wheelers. But if you go to Can-Am.com, and I'm on it right now, but I'm not clicking any further than the first page, it's called sex wrestling, pro wrestling, oil wrestling, bondage wrestling. It's a homosexual wrestling promotion out of Canada.
Right for you.
And they've been around for like 4 or 5 years. It's like a joke in my industry, kind of, that people, like all these people know that there's like a gay wrestling company called Can-Am too.
That's hilarious. So.
Wow.
I've never watched any of their matches, but I'm sure they're good.
Shameless self-promotion.
I wonder if Can-Am has any premium live events coming up. What do you think, Kevin?
They definitely have premium live events on their website if you go to can-am.com.
I mean, I feel like I'd be forced to watch it. Like, I don't want, if there's nothing nude or anything, you know, like, whatever. I mean, I want to see some chanties beating each other's ass. Like, that seems like it'd be pretty fun. Or the gay, or whatever, like, whatever you identify as, you know what I mean? Like,
I think that wrestling has a lot of subgenres, and I think that, you know, they have this thing like, I don't know. I think that wrestling, more than a lot of stuff, wrestling has a lot of subgenres, and that there's definitely some kind of fetish wrestling world that exists that a lot of our favorites have probably been involved in, and then there's just like private wrestling. It's not necessarily for your jollies. Like, people aren't getting their jollies off. They're just paying. It's just some rich dude who, like, if I was a fucking rich mark, I would just be like, I want to see y'all fight each other for 10.
Oh, right.
It's just a really, there's a whole industry to that shit. It's crazy.
Final question. I'm sorry for interjecting, but I just always want to hear input on Superhuman, because at first, you know, like, I'm not an ICP guy at all, but it's just like, I watch this guy, and like, as he progresses, he's just so fucking insane. Like, I want to see. I didn't watch his holiday videos. I'm gonna have to go look him up, because I'm sure he did something completely bizarre.
All right.
What does Christian think about Superhuman?
I don't know. I like Venom.
Superhuman's like the Juggalo guy on YouTube that like jumps through stuff. He's like a big wrestling fan. Jumps through tables and shit.
No, I don't like those people getting hurt, you know. Those people get hurt by themselves.
Don't try it at home kind of thing. So this guy, it's kind of different how he does it. Like, he is, like, it is the same concept as backyard wrestling, but he just lays out something and he jumps through it. And if you watch enough of his videos, you can see that it does look like it hurts, but it never looks like it's going to, like, really fucking hurt him. He'll jump on air conditioners or TVs and shit like this. But the way he, I don't know. It just seems like the guy's like, he does do crazy shit that looks brutal, and he like sells it. I don't know. I think, and I am a Juggalo too. So if that's like any hint to why I'm like sticking up for the guy, it's like, I'm kind of like a closeted Juggalo at this point. But that is my path. And every time he's like, shout out to the Juggalos.
I was just my disclaimer. That's not the reason that I like him. But that microwave is his fucking enemy. Like, that microwave, oh my gosh, man. That's the most cringy one. They make a hoodie. Like, if you go look at his apparel, there's like this hoodie that's got like the microwave and like all this stuff on it. Like a lot of the imagery from like his antics. I'm fucking actually down with the guy. He's fucking unorthodox.
He's done some stuff. Like, I know he's down with the Juggalos for sure. Like, that whole scene, like, embraces the fuck out of the guy. But then, like, I know that he's worked, like, I don't think he's worked like real wrestling matches. It's just that he like has worked with wrestling promotions, like gone and like done little spots and like appearances and stuff. But he's not a real wrestler by any means. He's just a fucking
He does wrestle this one guy. I can't remember what the guy's name is, but the dude is like huge. He's like, I mean, not like Butterbean size, but like the guy's like, you know, his diameter. He's kind of short but huge, like guy with a big Fu Manchu, like some old man who's like known for backyard wrestling, and he just totally fucks him up, like pretty much like he beats the shit out of Superhuman.
It's probably shit. I'm trying to think of what's that guy's name, Albert. Who's that guy? He was in The Wrestler.
Necro Butcher.
I think that's who it is. Like, I've seen some matches, and, like, they do it, like, they just go to their gathering.
I think you're right. I think I've seen Superhuman do something with Necro Butcher, yeah.
Yeah, he just, like, that guy just bounces him off his gut, just, like, smothers him and just punishes the shit out of Superhuman.
That's funny stuff. Yeah, but like Christian said, don't try this shit at home and don't hurt yourself, and shout out to all the jugglers and jugglers.
All right. So I'm going to give my final rating for the show. 1.5 out of 10.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Oh. No, actually, oh. 2 out of 10. I'm sorry. 2 out of 10. One for the
You gave it another five.
Yeah. 2 out of 10. Yeah. Change my mind. I gave it 2 out of 10. One for the tag match for the beginning. And one for the decent Raw championship women's match, but, you know, because of the botched ending. So that's it. I didn't think this pay-per-view was that good, you know. First pay-per-view of the new year. I know Royal Rumble is going to be good.
Correction, yeah. Christian. It's not a pay-per-view, man.
I mean, premier live event. I'm never going to get used
premier
to that.
Premier live event.
So that's about it. I'm going to close myself out now.
Premium.
Yeah.
I'm going to give myself a 0 out of 10 for calling the Sinister Minister the Master. Like, that was kind of stupid. But I have to drink it. So, I mean, it's a kind of like a backhanded compliment of sorts. I mean, I don't know. But I'm just fucking drunk.
I mean, I caught it, but I thought you were talking about, you know, Kevier the Peacemaker. But,
well,
you know.
I was listening to y'all talk earlier. Like, I was on my way. I was like, what's the cheapest shit I could buy for a decent price at the Stripes where actually I'm kind of, like, halfway kicked out of there? And I got, like, the ridiculously cheap fucking natural ice, 5.9%. Make your boy holler, $1.29 a piece. And I was contemplating
there
going to Whataburger. I was going to go to the Whataburger to get that fucking... I don't know if anybody's heard about the extra spicy ketchup, the #2 ketchup, but I'm going to drive my ass over and get some hash browns in the morning. They said it's like sriracha. They have this special ketchup for a while.
Doubled up on the spiciness? I like that.
Yeah. Look it up. It's like... It's called... It says the #2 batch special ketchup, but I was like, what's the #1 one? And they couldn't even tell me. I was like, is this like some kind of industry secret? Like... They have weird white label fucking ketchup right now. Everybody says it tastes like sriracha, but I have to fucking try it.
Well, everything, I know we're in overtime. I know everybody wants to go home and wrap it up. But do you ever, like, mark out and, like, fanboy over other shit that's not wrestling shit? Like, I think, like, with fast food shit, like, you're speaking my language right now with, like, the spicy, extra spicy ketchup. Like, I'll go, like, when they announce, like, a new fast food item, I'm like, yeah, let me try that. I gotta go get that right away. So I'm like popping for like fast food.
You can board some of that shit and sell it on the internet for like a fucking $100 a piece later. The Rick and Morty fucking sauce from McDonald's, like people pay like a few fucking $1,000 for that shit, you know?
Every time I went and got the damn Travis Scott meal, they never had Sprite or like they were always missing something. They were like, I tried it like twice to get the actual thing and they didn't have it. And it sucked when I did it. And both times I was like, fuck this shit. That was like the last time I did it actually. I got the McRib like the last time the McRib was in town, I did do that, and you can't walk, the McRib doesn't stand up against Brock Lesnar, let's just put it that way.
I got those Buffalo Nuggets, I don't know if anybody else tried them, and they had, like, some weird fucking, like, spicy sauce with it, which I doubt they have anymore. I'm like, I need to hoard more shit. I have all kinds of bizarre stuff in my house. I'm like, I need a little drawer, like that condiment drawer your grandma has, where it's like all those 10,000-year-old fucking, you know, mayonnaise packages or whatever.
I think we need to start a fast food podcast on that, you know, Thursday night. It's just,
we just start bootlegging it. Like, just like they counterfeit money. I'm gonna counterfeit special sauces and just like rip people off.
Damn right. Good idea.
On that note, I have to go, guys. My battery's about to die.
Yeah, we all must go.
We had fun.
We gotta go.
It was a fun night. I'll sign off first. Let me go first. I'm sorry. I apologize for my behavior tonight. But, like, we started talking about Brock Lesnar, and I got really excited. 2022, Brock Lesnar's your champion. Bow down to the greatness, you know. Hopefully it doesn't last that long because, you know, we are all sick and tired of that shit. Next time on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Is Kevin signing out?
That was me signing out.
Yeah.
Peace, man. I'll talk to y'all sometime. You know, I pop in and out. Sorry for fucking just being a fucking total drunkard and just, you know, bashing y'all show. So it's like, it's just I'm a bro of fucking Albert's, you know?
You were a great guest, Joe. Don't sell yourself short, buddy. We enjoyed your company.
I'm going to make Albert send me those fucking T-shirts and I'll represent y'all's fucking shit to the fullest. I'll be styling. First one I'm going to get is I'm a deathmatch kind of guy, and then I don't even know what's after that. Hey, peace, man. Sorry to fucking, you know. Hey, y'all have a great evening.
Hey,
the rest of it, morning, whatever.
You too, man. We're gonna do our
later, Christian. Later, Albert. Later, Chuck.
Hey, yeah, Joe. When I get my new place all set up and stuff, I'm gonna start doing some more shows so we can finally do Bombing Out and make a return to Albert and Joe B's Techno Request Live, which I don't know. We used to have me and Joe B used to have a live Facebook live show that we did.
Hi, everybody. Albert Salazar here to tell you about our new show, Bombing Out, hosted by me and my good pal, Joe B. Woo! We're taking stand-up comedy open mics and doing them better than anybody has ever done in the history of mankind. Watch comics bomb horribly, live from the comfort of your own home. No cover charge, no drink minimums, no bouncers kicking you out for taking your pants off. Bombing Out is live Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook Live, YouTube, Instagram, and of course at bombingout.com. Comics can also sign up on the website. Audio versions of the show will be available on the World Generation Podcast Network. Bombing Out, the future of stand-up today. Visit bombingout.com for more information.
Yes, yes, we're doing all of that now. We're going to do everything when I get everything set up. But, you know, yeah, we had that show, Techno Request Live, and that was another good one. And it was just we were just walking around, you know, or hanging out somewhere and getting really drunk. And we used to do, like, a show, like in downtown Austin, and we'd talk to, like, homeless people and stuff. It was a good show. So on that note, I'll see you guys next week. It's been a great start to the sixth season of Fatal 4 Radio. See you guys in hell.
Ladies and gentlemen, Retro Punk Rocker, Albert Inspector. Who's left? Kevier either got cut off or hung up.
He went away, so it's my turn now.
Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Shanti, I wish you all a great new year. I am Christian from Philly, the great Swami. Shanti, my brothers and sisters, Shanti.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly. Who we have here? Who else is left?
It's just you and I, Sinister, I think.
You want to quote yourself out, man? Joe B.
You, man.
I'll close myself out and leave you guys here. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's been real, but, you know, it hasn't been real big. It's been a big evening, though. We had a great time. I had a great time talking about all kinds of different shit tonight. And I know you did, too, and I know you will enjoy listening to it. But for now, we got to go. But we'll see you same time, same bat channel, all that bullshit. And remember, to keep it real, keep it heal. And as always, keep it sexy. Peace, motherfuckers.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.